your gobble to gobble.
I call to order the regular meeting of the Nalaska City Council is called to order at 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 24th. I'd ask Councilman Sherry to read our mission statement. Coleman?
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Certainly. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tunkel?
Here.
And Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum of this council. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This time I'll recognize the visitors here. Welcome, many of you from 302. I believe we have some local representatives. I don't know you personally. Kyle Vergen, business agent, are you here? Well, Darren Kupansky, business manager, and Jason Allward, District 6 rep. They're with the 302. I heard they were in town, figured they might be here. And welcome to all those present this evening. At this time, we're on item 5, awards and presentation. I'll read the first one I have is a proclamation declaring June 2022 as a Workplace Safety Awareness Month. Whereas the National Safety Council designates each June as National Safety Month to promote and encourage health and safety in the workplace and communities. And whereas the City of Unalaska is a city of industry comprised of very diverse businesses and workplaces. And whereas implementing health and safety programs is vital to the employees and businesses and can improve business performance as well as contribute to the local economy and job force. And whereas many accidents and injuries in the workplace are preventable, and employees and employers must be engaged, educated, and aware of the safety practices and policies. And whereas the workplace industries lead to increased medical, workers' compensation costs, and diminished productivity of the employees. Whereas the workplace safety requires cooperation of employees, businesses, and industry, and all levels of government, as well as the general public. Whereas promoting good workplace safety and health practices are endeavors worthy of support for the City of Unalaska. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudyakov, Senior Mayor of City of Unalaska, hereby announce and proclaim to all citizens that June 1st through June 30th, 2022, is a Workplace Safety Awareness Month. And all businesses and citizens should encourage to promote and encourage safe and healthy environments. Next, we acknowledge the city employee anniversary. And I'll ask Peggy McLaughlin to step forward.
For his 10 years of meritorious service. This
City of Unalaska honors you for 10 years of meritorious service with the City of Unalaska. Your professionalism, knowledge, skill, and dedication have been of exceptional value to the City of Unalaska. Your fellow staff members, the City of Unalaska City Council, and the community thank you for 10 years of service with the City.
Congratulations again, Peggy. 10 years service to the City of Unalaska. Next, item 6 is the adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Luby. If there's any objection, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Next, item 7, approval of the minutes of previous meetings, May 10th and May 12th, 2022. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of those meetings?
I'll move to approve meetings of May 10th and May 12th, 2022.
Moved by Councilman Coleman.
Do second.
I have a second? Second by Councilman Tungle. There being no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next, item 8 is the city manager's report. Before we get on to that, I wanted to say a few words. Aaron Reinders has been our city manager for a number of years. I had the privilege of working with her for the last 3 years. One of the main issues that when I first got in to office, within 10 days we had an airplane crash, loss of life. Within a month or two later we had two young people die, and then pandemic hit, all within like 7 or 8 months of working. Through all of this, Aaron has done a great job in keeping this community safe, working with the council, working with the clinic, working with the EMTs, the police department, and of course the airlines. If you remember, we were on about a month and a half to 2 months of charter business through the city. And it was through Aaron's and staff hard work that we continue to get planes into the community. This saved a lot of communities, the community members, from having to go out and pay $2,000 to $3,000 to get off the island. And for a period of almost 3 months, until Raven started a charter operation to get their certification, the city did operate the charter business. And it was a lot of hard work and a lot of effort through Aaron as a city manager, taking us through airlines coming down and then the pandemic. I really appreciate all the work you've done. This is your last meeting as a city manager, and I would like to thank you on behalf of the community for your hard work. Now, Bong will assist me here.
Well, you want me to say something?
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's always been a privilege working with you, Aaron. Your hard work and dedication to this community is your professionalism. It's always, it can't be taken for granted. So I always said that the council, the city manager is the only employee that the council had. Every time I run into any kind of question or people ask me to find something out for him, I always approach Erin, stop by the office and talk to her personally. And she always have an answer for me. She always put some time every time I come to her office and have some issue on anything that got to do with the city. And I appreciate the time and effort you put into this community. You built your family in here, and you've been a good coach at the school. You made your life and your family build up in this community, and you're always going to be a part of this community. Thank you.
Any other councilmen have comments before we move on? But I want to say thank you, Aaron, for all the hard work you've done for this community. And with that note, we'd like to welcome Chris Laddick, who is our interim city manager, and he'll be on island, I believe, Sunday. Sunday at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So we look forward to working with him when he gets here. Okay, next item, where was I? Oh, city manager's report. So I'll turn it over to Aaron to give us a report on the city managers.
All right. A couple of things. Manager's report is in your packet. I did get an update from Peggy this afternoon about the dredging project, the core dredging project. That is moving forward. Looks like the geotech work should be beginning in September, and we should hope for an update on how all that's shaken out here in June. But it looks like September some work should begin. Tom also has let me know that a little bit of an update. This is referenced in the cost-benefit analysis for Captain's Bay Road. We have gone ahead and submitted a grant application through that rural grant process. So those are two updates. And I would like to take a moment. I was not expecting these beautiful flowers and the dinner today. Thank you very much. It's been a true pleasure serving the community as a whole for the past 10 years in various capacities and in working with so many amazing people. The community is so much better off because of the amazing team that we have. Working with them in the city organization. So it's been a privilege, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. I was wondering if we've had any movement on Small Boat Harbor. I know we've had that set aside for a project, but we might be waiting on some grants or possible options for there. I was wondering if we have any movement.
Just this past April, when I was in Anchorage, I actually did swing by some of the state offices in Anchorage and with our planning staff, and I believe Councilmember Bong Tungle was in attendance. So the planning department's working through acquiring some of those tied lands, so that's definitely a necessary step in the process. I think I'm looking for our port director to see if she has an update on any of the other project stuff, but working on getting the real estate is a key component of that.
Yes, so the Tidelands application was approved. It hasn't gone through. The application was accepted, I should say, and the approval process is still in play. We did have an opportunity for Deputy Director Patrick Bliss to head down to Bellingham Marine and to Transpac to look at some of their float systems. And we are looking at moving forward with investigating the kind of the design build process, which will cut the cost down if you do versus a design bid build, and kind of looking at some plug and play options for the reconfiguration of that. We don't have dates on that yet, but there is a harbor matching grant application coming forward. It's not awarded typically until the fall. So hopefully we'll be far enough along in the process that we can provide some solid numbers for construction and get that application in.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Luby.
Hi, I want to say thank you for everything as well. I didn't really get a whole lot of time to work with you, so anyway, just the short period of time. And then the other thing I wanted to ask was, so I've had a few complaints about the removal of vehicles. Coming from the harbor, you know, the junk vehicles laying around, and they're being moved to city property, but they're being moved into residential areas that already don't have any junk around their houses. And so I was wondering if you could look into having a different location for them other than where they're being placed now.
I will get with staff on that. They'll have to dig in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bill. Any comment?
No questions, thanks.
Councilman Nicholson?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no questions at this time. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your service, Aaron, and I hope the best for you in the future. At this point, I have no questions in the manager's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Tungle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a little update on the fiber optic laying cables and I guess some utilities, Captain's Bay Road, is that I see we got traffic going on in there, so they must be doing some work in there now.
Yeah, I might call on Tom if he can give kind of a brief little update on what's going on there. Yes, but there's lots of happening along that corridor for sure.
Mr. Mayor and Council, we have three contractors working on the fiber optic or alongside the fiber optic project. As you know, GCI has their subcontractor that's actually doing the install. And then there's a third contractor that's doing the electrical conduit installation. So at this point, you probably noticed that they're just about to the Pyramid Bridge. And they're right on schedule. They're making some really good progress. And it's been kind of disruptive for traffic. I understand that. I've been back and forth a few times myself. But they're trying to knock it out as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Councilman Tungle. Anybody, any further comments on the city manager's report? All right, thank you. Move on to the item number 9, community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or to make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and the council will not engage in dialogue. Roger.
Hi, Mayor and Council, community. We have an interesting event on Saturday, the 28th. It's the Aquatic Center is having an open house, and the event will be from 2 to 6 p.m. And this will be a free event to everyone. And there's activities that will happen during this event, which includes many swim lessons, the woga, water polo, the slide will be on at different times, and of course the sauna will be on. We encourage all the community to come and participate and get to know your aquatic center a little better and then participate in some of these activities. And we look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Roger. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, thank you. The city clerk, have we had any written comments or anyone on Zoom or the phone?
No, sir.
Sorry. Okay, well, thank you. Move on to the next item. Next is a public comment on agenda item. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until it comes up to the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes. And council will not engage in dialogue. State your name. And
my name is Kyle Virgin. First off, I'd like to say thank you to the city for allowing us to use their property for our little shindig this evening. Good evening, members of council. Thank you for allowing us also this opportunity to speak to you. My name is Kyle Virgin. I'm a business agent for the Operating Engineers. I've represented this contract for the last 9 years here in Unalaska. When I took over these contracts from my predecessor, it was humbling to see the tenure within the ranks. Most people had been working here for decades. Today, 9 years later, things are changing, and not just within the people I represent. From the city manager on down, it's becoming increasingly difficult to keep names and titles straight due to turnover. Recent times have seen this proud city become a stepping stone or training ground for people to pad their resume and expand their skill set before moving on to greener pastures. Positions that were once highly sought after are now sitting vacant for extended periods of time. The question has to be asked, what has changed? I see the problem in two parts. Our most senior employees had been here long enough that their wage was livable. The key word being was. Saddled with the cost of living 60% higher than urban areas of Alaska and a CPI that has risen 10% in the last 2 years, that wage is no longer livable. Now imagine you're a newly hired employee at our entry-level wages. While those entry-level wages may seem appealing for someone coming from off-island, those that have lived here know just what it takes to break even. Additionally, our senior employees were able to get into the state PERS retirement system at a time when it was more than just another 401k. While we can't change the retirement system, we can at least attempt to slow the current exodus by addressing the issues within our reach. Presently, we have an annual turnover rate of 37%. For every 10 employees, 4 will leave within the next year. Given the slow rate of recruitment and the cost of training new employees, it has and will continue to cost the city hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, all the while placing added stress onto the current employees who are already stretched thin. In some cases, there are no remaining employees to even shift the workload to, which has brought contractors in at a rate of 2 to 3 times the cost of our current employee structure. As you've noticed by the attendance both inside and out, everyone is awaiting tonight's outcome. This contract will be the deciding factor for many more employees trying to determine whether they should stay working for the city. There are longshoremen here, public safety employees, and concerned community members all here to show their support and solidarity. We aren't the only departments within the city that are struggling. In closing, thank you for your time this evening. Please return the support for your city workers as they support this community. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to say I appreciate the enthusiasm, but we are in a public meeting and would like to be courteous to those who have other opinions, so appreciate it. Next.
I'm Steve Vandeventer. I work for the city. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for listening to us tonight. It's a big time for me and for all these employees. I've never seen so much outburst of concern to me. I'm out there in the streets with these people. I listen to what they're saying. I know what they're, you know, I mean, I hear their sorrows and all this stuff. And it's constant. We're having troubles making the payments. We're having troubles with the grocery store, having troubles with fuel, having troubles with our utilities. We're having troubles with our flights. We all know this stuff. I ain't telling you anything we don't know. The problem is we need something to help us get through this. I personally am getting tired at work of training people. I'm a training facility over there at the Public Works. I don't mind it. I love training people, but the problem is I train them and then somebody else takes them. Somebody else offers them a job. Just the other day, my wife and I were helping some people out, and a person come up to my wife and says, "Do you want a job? I know about you." And somebody turned and said, "That's an employee of the city," and she I can't remember the exact words you used, but she's a dedicated employee to the city. And I really honored that thought. And thank you for serving our great thing here. All I can really say is I hope that you really strongly consider what the contract is before you today, because it means a lot and it's going to have the biggest impact that, you know, most people probably don't see on a daily basis, but when you live it, when you're trying to make your payments on this stuff, it's hard. So I appreciate your vote today. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron Enlow, please vote for these contracts because people are really struggling like I've never seen before. The costs that go along with approving the contracts are significant, yet the cost of not approving it will continue to mount with increased turnover, hiring private contractors to perform the work, decreased employee morale, losing institutional knowledge, and more. I witnessed the added expenses of contracting at work due to the unfilled positions in my job at Public Works. The irony is that some of the contractors are former employees who left for better pay, management, or working conditions, and we're paying their new employer 3 or 4 times the cost of the living wage they could have earned with the city under these proposed contracts. The city currently has $89 million worth of open capital projects at various stages of completion. Public Works and Utility presently maintains more than 50 facilities, 16 housing units, 8 parks, and over 180 vehicles and pieces of equipment. Maintaining the city's asset is paramount to the community's quality of life. Why would we keep building them if we don't want to maintain them? I believe it's time for council to invest in the city workforce that maintains, operates, and preserves millions of dollars in assets in addition to serving their community members. Please allow us the same careful consideration that you've given to capital projects and other bargaining units. Please support these contracts. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jen Vandeventer, and I've worked in the finance department for When I came to work for this city, it was the place to work, and positions were very minimal, and they were hard to come by. Sadly, this is no longer the case, and we need to get back to those times when city jobs were the jobs people wanted and wanted to stay in them. I ask you today to approve the 3302 contracts in front of you today and help bring the city back to what it once was, and keep the employees that work hard for the city every day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Was that Councilman Robinson or somebody online?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Well, I hate to interrupt, but I only heard every other word of the last two speakers. Speak louder into and closer to the microphone. Maybe we might be able to hear them. Thank you. Or if they have that, if they have the testimony in writing, you can get it to me.
Yeah, you're coming in and out also, so we'll see how it goes. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Wilma Mershadesh. I've been with finance for more than 12 years now, 2 years as accounting assistant and 10 years as senior accountant. From my experience that I'm sharing now to this council is that I have never seen such group of individuals that are so efficient, reliable, hardworking, and dedicated than this group in front of you. So it is my common practice in my job that if I see that my employee is working good, it is just fair to reward them with a token of appreciation. This token of appreciation is through proper compensation. This simple act of kindness will not only encourage them to do more better at their job, but will also address the turnover issues that the city is currently having right now. Employees won't have to leave the city employment because doing this, we're letting them know that they're being valued and essential part of the team. So to reiterate my point, I am humbly asking the council to please support and approve the 302 contracts to give us the compensation we all deserve and work for. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your comments, and this council will take in all those in consideration when we get into executive session. Our next item is the work session.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
There is one more element of the public comment is asking me if we have some written comments submitted. And
all
I
right.
do. I've got 26, so buckle up. All right. 26. Yeah. All right, so the first is from Gary Jershley. Dear Mayor and Council, I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and the City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Prices have always been higher on the island, and typically, once prices increase, they don't get reduced. That was the situation prior to the plane crash and COVID. Now, from January 2021 to January 2022, the consumer price index for all urban consumers rose 7.5%. This is the largest 12-month increase since the 12-month period ending February 82. Food prices increased 7% over the past year, while energy prices rose 27%. That doesn't include the additional costs associated with living here. Crude oil prices are 50% higher than they were in June last year. It cost me over $200 more to top off my home heating fuel tank. Rent is too high for what you get, and it keeps going up. I was told almost 5 years ago when I was hired that housing would get better, not worse. Air travel costs have doubled since the crash. Once you get to Anchorage, hotels and car rentals have tripled in costs. You might get reimbursed for airfare for medical reasons, but food and accommodations are not. God help you if you have to be there for a while. We try to save money by buying online, but now we pay more and we are taxed. All in all, it's getting harder to live on the island, and I don't see it getting any better. It's feeling like I may not be able to afford to live and work here. Again, that was Gary Jershley. The next one is from Jeremiah Kirchhofer. Dear Mayor and Council, I am speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and the City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Unlike the first three tiers, the current Tier 4 of the Public Employee Retirement System, PERS, is substandard and does not provide adequate incentives to attract, hire, or retain new employees, either locally or from off-island. PERS is no longer a major carrot. The previous wage raises linked to the annual performance evaluation have not covered inflation and therefore were not sufficient to address the cost of living increases for food, rent, gas, or other essentials. Housing costs have continued to increase. It is a better value of tax dollars to increase wages than to provide city-owned housing. That was Jeremiah Kirchhofer. The next one is from Gilbert Chavarria. Dear Mayor and Council, I am speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Housing, groceries, travel, and fuel costs have all increased. The previous wages have not covered inflation. That was Gilbert Chavarria. Next is Ira Cristobal. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Fuel prices, car, and house heating are going up. Utility bills are going up. Food prices are going up. Plane tickets to get out and back on this island are going up. We are living paycheck to paycheck because of what is happening in this year's economy crisis, and who knows what will happen next. Everything is going up except our salaries. And the difference between last year's prices and this year's prices is really huge. I hope you acknowledge our concerns. Thank you so much, Ira Cristobal. The next is from Jim Shishnikov. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and the City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Due to the high cost of living in Unalaska Dutch Harbor, I believe it is in the best interest of the city to sign these contracts to retain our employees. Jim Shishnikov. The next is from Judith Hewling. I'm writing to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and the City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. The cost of living in Unalaska has increased a great deal recently. I've been paying over $1,000 per month just on heating fuel for the last 4 months. We used to budget $500 per month and still have a reserve available for winter months. The cost of food, gas, and utilities has also increased. The city has been losing a large number of employees and had many community members leaving recently. I looked on the city website today and counted 18 job postings. We had 22 city job postings on our department bulletin board today. As a city, we cannot function effectively with this high shortage of workers. In order to attract and keep high quality employees, you need to provide wages that allow people to be able to afford living here in our community. Please continue to show your support for all city employees and your appreciation of the job they are doing for you by collectively approving the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you tonight. Judith Hewling. Next is from Steve Ingman. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and the City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. One, single income household, it's very hard to make ends meet. Two, everything is costing more at a rate that is quickly taking any buffer we were able to have out of the equation. Three, we haven't been able to travel. The fares are so high. If we get stuck in Anchorage, it could cost thousands. We just don't have any more. Four, if living here is down to living paycheck to paycheck, then why? The climate is not good to stay here for that. Steve Ingman. The next is from Marcos Santos. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. The economy needs reliable infrastructure to connect supply chains and efficiently move goods and services across borders. Infrastructure connects households across metropolitan areas to higher quality opportunities for employment, healthcare, and education. Clean energy and public transit can reduce greenhouse gases. Marcos Santos. The next is from Richard Owen. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Food prices, 8.8%. Gas prices up 18.3% are just a few examples of prices going up. It is getting hard to live up here with these prices. Richard Owen. Next is from Anna Marie Ammons. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve that the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. I've been working for the City of Unalaska for 18 years. Airfare, groceries, and gas are expensive. It will help us a lot if you guys approve our new contracts. Anna Marie Ammons. The next is from Cherokee Townsend. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. My rent has gone up due to a raise in fuel prices, and that impacts me for fueling my vehicle for me and my wife. And prices have gone up for groceries also. So without a raise, I am just working to keep roof over my head and food on the table for me and my wife. Thank you for your time, Cherokee Townsend. The next is from Daniel Wayne Cunningham. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. The increase of fuel prices, the increase of grocery prices, the cost of living in general to keep retention high. Some families are single income, making it difficult to save money. Healthcare, flying to Anchorage, and paying for own lodging may prevent people from getting necessary help. Daniel Wayne Cunningham. Next is from Lilia Williams. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. 20 positions open on the city website this morning. 8 of them are in DPW and DPU departments. Every utilities division have positions that have not been filled for several months. The City of Unalaska no longer offers competitive wages. It's very difficult to hire qualified workers for the amount of pay that the city currently offers. Lilia Williams. The next is from Derek Haste. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Due to our consistent rise of our inflation crisis, prices, utilities, fuel, cost of living in Dutch Harbor is at an all-time high. Housing for employees are a concern. A pay increase would be beneficial to every city employee. We have 20 job openings at the city. Just 2 to 3 years ago, you had a hard time getting a job with the city, and now we have a hard time getting someone to work for the city. The biggest problem is housing. I know of numerous guys who went to OSI or PAC Steve because of housing. Derek Haste. The next is from Rowena Galanis. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Since I began working with the City of Unalaska on November 23, 2009, I have been a conscientious and reliable employee. I have taken on responsibilities, have proven the high quality of my work and dedication to the city. I am now respectfully requesting the approval of the wages increase under Article 17, classification and wages from the mayor and council members, Rowena Gulanas. The next is from Jamie McDeong. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Because of pandemic, and following with the inflation, all prices in primary needs are going up. That's why we hope you feel too what the impact of this is to us. So now we need it most to make us survive here. Thank you, Jamie McDeong. The next is from Galileo Constantini. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Everything now is up. The gas, grocery, electricity, etc. And we have a shortage of baby formula. It's really hard for us to save money and at the same time feed my family. It's really hard to find a decent and affordable place in Dutch Harbor. Galileo Constantini. The next is from Connor Zuger. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. The prices of common living expenses have always been high, been medium to high in our community for as long as I have lived here. Now, especially while prices rise even more from national sanctions, it's hard for a young adult in this town to move out on their own and pay rent prices in town, and grocery prices are higher than ever too. In addition to all of this, the price of airfare off of this island has always been costly. 302 union employees all help run major utilities for our community, and it would be in the best interest for our entire community to keep us happy and motivated so the workflow runs proficiently. Connor Zuger. The next is from Matthew. I apologize, I'm not going to pronounce the last name correctly. Matthew Feosau. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it is in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. For some reasons, not even half of my groceries are bought is, I'm sorry, I got a little closer. For some reasons, not even half of my groceries are bought is worth the amount paid for it. And plus the rent, gas, it goes up high. I feel like we deserve this raise because prices here just don't match the pay rate we've been receiving. And that's from Matthew Feosau. The next is from Katie Hewling. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. One, we, your employees, love this city and our jobs. We want to live and work here and invest ourselves in our community. Inflation keeps happening, and with it comes a rising cost of living. Current studies indicate the cost of living here in Unalaska is more than 20% or one-fifth higher than the cost of living in Anchorage. A January 2019 article on KUCB titled Expensive Groceries and Healthcare Contribute to Unalaska's High Cost of Living quoted a survey that placed Unalaska as the seventh most expensive place to live in the nation. Three, employees who not only love their jobs but can also afford to stay in them are employees who work harder and stay in their jobs longer. Less turnover increases productivity, which is a benefit not only to the city as our employer, but also to the community we want to serve. An investment in the city's employees is an investment into the health and productivity of our community. We, your employees, are excited for the possibilities of the contract presented to you as it covers many of our concerns. We, the public, appreciate the service to all of our city employees and hope they continue to be a part of our community and a blessing. Respectfully, Katie Hewling, city employee and member of the public. The next is from Helen Hammond. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Everything gone rocket high on our little island, from groceries to personal needs, heating fuel, gasoline, and all. Plane ticket costs, arms, and legs. Wages were falling prior to COVID-19, and inflation, it's getting too expensive to live here as a homeowner. Helen Hammond. The next is from Mark Descoteau. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Because we deserve it. Inflation is too high. Thinking of moving. Raise equals incentive to stay. Mark Descoteau. The next is from Brian Brown. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. I have noticed my paycheck doesn't stretch as far due to prices of groceries, gas, and utilities. I also feel we have lost our competitive ability to keep coworkers. I have witnessed numerous accounts of people leaving due to higher paid jobs or relocation because of financial struggle. Brian Brown. The next is from James Esnardo. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. We deserve to have a raise due to higher cost of living here, gas, housing, and food. James Esnardo. The next is Miguel Cristobal. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. Your overwhelming approval is very important and essential to us. It mitigates all the ongoing high prices of food, electric bills, gas, and fare going in and out of this island. Miguel Cristobal. And here we're at the last one from Chris DeGiro. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. I'm speaking out to ask that you collectively approve of the three IUOE Local 302 union contracts before you this evening. I believe it's in the long-term best interest of the community, city employees, and City of Unalaska infrastructure for the following reasons. At past meetings, council has said that they're looking for the city to hire more locally rather than reaching off-island to hire qualified candidates. At the time of this writing, there are 20 job listings on the city's website, which aren't the only open positions, and there will be more openings to come. If council was serious about wanting to hire locally, then how can it be explained that there are 20 job openings, some of which have been open years and others which have had zero applications sent in, which includes director positions, which are some of the highest paying jobs the city has to offer. Clearly, people on and off island don't feel that the current pay rates compared to the job duties are worth applying to, which says a lot about how far the city is behind in offering competitive wages and competitive benefits. A lot of staff who have left have mostly shared the same reasons for why they left. The top reasons include that the pay isn't enough. It's too expensive to live here. It's too expensive to travel on and off the island. To give you an idea of where we are, allow me to share with you the following. April 29, 2021, I paid $3.89 a gallon for 19 gallons of gas. A year and a day later, on April 30, 2022, I paid $5.34 a gallon for 14 gallons of gas. A 5-ounce bottle of A1 steak sauce costs $4.99, which is almost a dollar an ounce. On March 21, 2022, an 8-pack of Ritz peanut butter crackers cost $8.99. I am my only dependent. I pay under $1,000 for rent. I don't pay utilities. I don't have cable. The costs I do pay specifically on island are groceries, travel on and off the island, gas, Wi-Fi, auto repair, cell phone bill, car insurance, equate to enough money where I am lucky if I can squirrel away $25 to $100 a month in savings. I left my previous job on the East Coast to come out here and work, not solely because of money, but I knew almost 4 years ago that I'd be able to stop living paycheck to paycheck. Now here we are, and if inflation continues to rise and costs continue to increase on the island, then I'll find myself living paycheck to paycheck again, and that will be untenable considering the amenities offered elsewhere, whether it's on the mainland or in the lower 48. I am not the only employee who knows that, and I can only offer my sympathies to those in worse situations than me who are paying more in rent, groceries, utilities than me and make about the same or less than I do right now. COVID changed the landscape when it comes to people realizing that work isn't the only thing their lives revolve around. The number of job openings in the city and around the country reflect that. People are preferring to stay home rather than work. And for the wages of some jobs, I don't blame them. The job market is very lucrative and favorable right now and for job seekers. And like I said before, given the amount of current and anticipated city openings, Unalaska just falls flat. I respectfully urge the mayor and city council to give city employees hope and a significant morale boost by voting to approve all three IUOE Local 302 union contracts tonight. Approving these contracts doesn't solve all of the issues the city faces, such as the trip from Unalaska to Anchorage costing 40,000 miles, but approving these contracts is a step in the right direction to make it a harder decision for current employees to leave for higher paying jobs on or off island. Respectfully, Chris DeGiro. That's all the written comment that I was provided, Mayor.
Okay, thank you, City Clerk. Appreciate that. Is anyone else on Zoom? Telephone?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you. Our next item 11 is a work session. We have a motion and a second to go into work session.
I make a motion to go into a work session.
A second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. Is there any objection to going into a work session? Hearing none, we are in a work session. Request, first item is a request from the Unalaska Native Fishermen Association for the city's support of their request to North Pacific Fisheries Management Council for a community cod allocation. I'll turn this over to city manager.
Yes, Mayor and Council, I'll do a brief introduction. This request from UNFA came in through the mayor and is consistent with past requests that council has supported. A draft letter has already been drafted, and should council decide to support this request, and council will take formal action here later on in the agenda.
Okay, thank you. And as city manager mentioned, I am on the UNFA board and was asked at their last meeting about 2 weeks ago if I would support discussion with the council on this issue of community cod allocation. And I'll turn this over for council discussion. Councilman Robinson.
Mr. Mayor, yes. Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the proposed letter of support and authorize the city's fisheries consultant to provide testimony to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting in June 2022 in Sitka, Alaska.
Well, thank you, Councilman Robinson, but that'll be on the
regular agenda.
Yeah, regular agenda item. Right now we're in a work session. I appreciate your support.
Right.
Councilman Nicholson.
My bad, but I support it.
Yes, I'm in full support of this as well.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll turn it over to public comment. And for 3 minutes per person, does anyone present wish to speak? Dusty Dickerson.
Thank you, Mayor Tuyakov and members of the council. For the record, my name is Dustin Dickerson, and I'm a small boat fisherman and the vice president of the Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association. The North Pacific Fisheries Management Council will be having a meeting next month in Sitka, and one of the topics of discussion will be the initial review of what has come to be known as small boat access. This is a project that UNFA has been working on since October of 2018. If enacted, it would create a new fishing sector for small boats under 55 foot. It would be funded with uncaught fish from the JEG sector that would normally be rolled over to the broader under 60 hook and line pot sector. Over the years, the Unalaska Native Fishermen Association has made the case before the North Pacific Council that the under 60 hook and line pot sector is actually comprised of two groups of users. Those who fish locally in boats less than 55 feet and within 15 miles of town, and those who fish Unimak Pass in far larger boats called Super 58s. We have pointed out these disparities, and the council has responded by giving our issue an initial review with a final action scheduled for October. Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association has put a great deal of effort into this endeavor, and if it is approved, it will change the landscape of small boat fishing for locals in and around Unalaska Bay for generations to come. Things will go back to the way they were 20 or 30 years ago, when if you bought a small boat and wanted to fish for cod, you actually had meaningful access to the resource. Today, a small boat longliner has about 2 weeks in January to fish, and the season for that gear type is over. Just 10 years ago, we had 100 days to fish. If this action is approved, we'll get our 100 days back, plus time to fish in September, October, possibly November. This is a really big deal, and it's essential for the stability and the vibrancy of our small boat fishermen and our own cultural identity as a community. We very much appreciate all the letters of support from the people of the community in the past, as well as support from the Cowalingan Tribe, the Onalaska Corporation, and from this body, the City Council. We are here today to ask again for another letter of support to take to Sitka that will show the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council that the people of Onalaska are united in the preservation of our small boat culture.
Great, thank you, Dusty. Are there any others who wish to speak in the chambers? Hearing none.
Mayor.
No. Council.
Thank you for that, Mr. Dickinson. I guess as one of the initial proposals of this, I'm wondering why you went to the designation of vessel length again. I mean, this seems to be what got everybody in a bind in the beginning. I mean, I remember years ago when they started talking about vessels and what they can and can't do is all about the length as opposed to tonnage, capacity, or any other kind of designating qualifier. And so the new proposal as an allocation to a particular area, again, is based off length. So I'm wondering if that is just the language that the North Pacific Fishery Management Council wants to hear, or that was their proposal, or if you feel like, because that's where the Super 8s came in, their workaround. They figured out how to do it shorter. So if the mayor could grant him to be able to answer that question as to do you foresee any kind of issues down the line with using that designation as length?
Yes, Dusty, please step up there.
Mr. Mayor and Council, just so you know, Frank Kelty is also on the line and available for questions should you have any.
And so your question was, how is it that we got back to length as opposed to tonnage, basically? Because members of the council finally came around to the idea that that perhaps length is far more workable than tonnage or other requirements, and so it was it's just something that we've worked out over the years. 55 feet was a proposal that we put together. Workarounds for the Super 8s, I mean, I know 55-foot boats that have a 2-foot detachable bow. Right now, there's a couple of options. There's either 55 or 56 feet, and I think that we could even go to 54 feet as a length to work with. But you're right, there are troubles with length, and that, for instance, my own boat, the letter of documentation, it shows 56 foot. I, a NIMS officer, and I went down and measured, and it wasn't even 54 foot. So that is a big problem. But the way that they would handle that is if there's a complaint about a boat that may be more than 55 feet or 54 feet in the future, that the NIMS will just go down with a tape measure and measure the boat. And so that's the long answer, I guess. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess I'm support of this, you know, direction that you're going. I totally understand and support, you know, community or local area fisheries. I try to think further and it's like, what's going to be the workaround on this? And then are we going to be in this position 10, 15 years ago, you know, from now? And I guess because it just bothers me that it kind of goes to a vessel length as opposed to some other qualifier that would designate you as small as opposed to just the boat size. Because it's obviously shown that, you know, size doesn't matter. So they can still, you know, that's kind of where we're at, right? Because they could fish outside and inside, and so I it was just kind of a question that I was pondering as to, but I know you've been at this for a long time, and so I'm going to trust that this is the direction this is best to serve. So thank you.
Hey, thank you, Dusty. Okay.
There was one person who requested to make comment that's joining by
Zoom or telephone.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Frank Kelty, go ahead.
Keep it short, Frank.
always. Mr. Mayor and City Council, for the record, my name is Frank Kelty. I'm the fishery consultant for the city. This is a project that I've been part of for 5 years. I think we're finally getting close to the finish line. Just to kind of go back a little bit on Councilmember Coleman's question, we in Kodiak years ago, when they sent kind of a proposal, they tried to do it by tonnage, and it was total meltdown. They couldn't figure it out. I think that with the great increase in the larger 58-foot boats in the area, I think the council finally decided to realize that the local small boats in Alaska might need this protection of a different a smaller length. And in the council's draft analysis, they also have 56. So there's 55 LOA and 56 in the. So they might decide to go a different route. We don't know. But talking to Dustin, I think he felt more comfortable with 55. But we'll see what the council does and what kind of testimony they're going to hear in Sitka. But I think this is probably our best chance. I mean, this has been going on since 5 years. And, you know, the genesis of this goes all the way back to Bobby Storrs' days in the early 90s of trying to get some access to fish for the local fleet here. So I think this is our best chance to get some action on this. I think it'll be a trimester thing, which takes care of concerns about sea lions. It'll be an A season, a B season, mostly probably for the people that do jigging, and then a C season in September 1st with a rollover if there's anything that wasn't harvested in the A and B season. So I think it might be a win-win, and I think it will be good for the long-term health of the local small boat fleet. You know, and it's going to fluctuate. The cod quota has been going down the last couple of years, so the 1.4% jig allocation will fluctuate with the strength of the fishery. So I would urge the council to support this letter, and I have already have plans to be in Sitka for the meeting, so I'll assist in the way I can at the meeting there. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Kelty? Any others on Zoom?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. There being no others, move on to item B in our work session. Tom Matson, Airport Operating Revenue, Past, Present, and Future. Peggy McLaughlin, Director of Ports and Harbors. I'll turn this over to City Manager.
Sure. Thanks, Mayor and Council. This is a continued and expanded discussion from several months ago that focused mostly on the long-term parking lot at the airport. So with that, I will hand it on over to the Port Director.
Thank you. So in December 14th, we had a brief discussion about the long-term parking. If you remember correctly, we had a business approach us about wanting to do a lease of that and to operate that as a business independently of what the city does today. Long-term parking, of course, is a free service at this point, not free to us, but free for those who park there. And so this is just kind of running back there and talking about the Tom Matson Airport. Because the long-term parking lot falls under the airport proprietary fund, I thought as we walked through these issues that it would be good to take kind of a holistic look at costs, revenues, what operations look like, what drives those costs and those revenues, so that you could understand the decisions that we're looking to make moving forward in terms of operating and potential revenue, new revenue sources. A couple of things. We're not really asking council to make a decision tonight. Really, this is an opportunity for us to provide you with some extended information, walk through the budget processes. The ports has looked at least three different options for managing long-term parking and kind of have fallen in line with what we believe would be the best piece moving forward. But we'll talk about all the timing of that and what those things look like and then kind of what council's philosophy is for moving forward. So you'll note two pictures up here on the opening. You've got a picture on the left is the short-term parking lot in the terminal building. That is one parcel that we lease with the state. And on the right is the long-term parking lot, where you all are, that is, and that is a separate agreement with the state of Alaska. Both properties are owned by the state of Alaska, and the city of Unalaska leases both properties, and we manage the operations that are on those properties. Okay. So goals for this discussion, just to kind of keep it really streamlined. I want to talk about the operations. I want council to feel like they understand the operations, how they work, why they work that way, what goes into it. I want to do a kind of a broad brush of our expenses and what drives that. We want to talk about our revenues and may have an opportunity to look at council's goals for what they would like to see with the airport and the proprietary fund. And then we'll talk about some potential revenue opportunities and then options for implementing change if that's the appetite. Again, we're not necessarily looking for decisions tonight from council, but to start really giving you some information to chew on and to discuss. Okay. So unfortunately, this is a little bit small print, but the city has the two parcels that were in the original picture. They have the short-term parking lot and the terminal on one parcel, and that is actually under what they call a permit. And the permit is a 35-year lease, and it expires in July of 23. The other part, the other parcel is on a lease, and it's a 10-year lease, and that expires in July of 24. So they're on different expirations timing, and they're on different lengths of leasable time. So when we did the expansion on the long-term parking lot, we tried to kind of switch that into a permit so that we were on a 35-year lease with that. It was not an option at the time. We can pursue that again. There's no guarantee that we would get the 35-year lease on that. But a couple of things that are kind of noteworthy. The timing of this is really important. There's quite a lengthy time of putting out leases with the state and getting those approved. And so we've got about a year till the main lease expires, the 35-year permit expires. We cannot reapply for that. Well, we can reapply for it at any time, but if we reapply for that prior to 6 months of its expiration, there's a penalty that goes with that. Don't ask me why, but we were a little dumbfounded when we figured that one out. So we've got short-term and terminal that expires in July of 23. That's a 35-year lease. And we've got the long-term, which is a 10-year lease, which expires in 24. The airport fund is a proprietary fund. So in theory, it's supposed to be self-sustaining. And we're going to talk about kind of how that budget process has been working, what that looks like. I kind of tried to steer away from actual revenues. You see those revenues, you see those expenses in the budget each year, but since the plane crash and since COVID, the whole revenue stream, expense stream has just been really skewed because there was CARES Act funding in there, there were tenants that weren't, you know, that pulled out, all those kind of pieces. So it's kind of wobbly. What I'm going to do is talk about the percentages and the averages and how that has kind of landed in the last couple of decades in terms of, you know, what the revenue, what the airport is doing for profit and loss. Okay, so expenses. The budget, you approve it every year. This year it's running about $834,000, and that is for the entire budget. That's the operating, that's the leases, that's your insurance, that's your depreciation. That's an important piece to remember. The operating costs of that, which is the labor, the leases, the insurance, the utilities, all those key pieces, is about $550,000. We've got about $281,000 in depreciation. So remember that number, because that's an important number when we start talking about what we're spending on operating and what we're making on operating. Yes.
So the building.
The building.
The state owns the building.
Oh, no. The state owns the land. We own all the buildings and all the improvements. So the lighting, the utilities, all of that. Thank you.
So the depreciation is on the building.
The depreciation is on the building and some of the improvements in long-term parking. Okay, so this is just, we're going to talk percentages because the numbers have been like this the last couple of years and trying to get a trend that made sense with what we know the airport does. It just wasn't going to look really productive. So I think it's important that we look at the big cost for our expenses that fall under our expense lines is depreciation. That's 33%. Remember, we consider depreciation as cash. The next big piece there is the labor, and that is labor that goes into, that includes the maintenance that comes from Public Works on the building. That also includes our percentage and allocation of labor to administer the airport operations for snow removal, for monitoring the building and those types of things. So that's the labor, that's the next piece. Maintenance is not the labor, but that is the actual maintenance cost. Okay, but that's not the, I can't see very well here, I guess. Custodial is about $65,000 a year. That's not only your contract with your custodian, but it's your supplies and all those kind of things. So that's your next big expense. And you can kind of work through the pieces, but I think it's really important that we know depreciation is your biggest piece, your biggest expense, your utilities, your labor, your custodial, those are your big chunks. If you look at, running the most heavily trafficked and, for the record, oldest building in the city's inventory, $550,000 to operate that is a really skinny budget. It's a really skinny budget. Okay. So revenues. The vast majority of the revenues that come in on that building come from the tenant subleases. And so that's your airlines. That's what was your travel agents. We don't have travel agents in there anymore. Both of those travel agent offices are out for proposal right now, looking for new businesses to take those spaces over. Advertising and the utility payments. So what happens is we rent the space to our tenants. It's a sublease. It's a sublease that goes through because we're on state land, we own the building, we get to lease to the tenants, but the state has to approve those subleases. So that means they have to meet their requirements for insurance and certain fire marshal criteria, all those kind of things, which they would meet with us anyway, but the insurance piece is a big one and they have to approve of their operation. So right now, our tenants are paying $7.92 a square foot for space. That doesn't include the cost of electricity, heat, all those things. So we have kind of a subdivision here. We have one tenant that actually is metered for their services. So they pay directly for what they use on their meters. The remaining utilities are divided up and based on the square footage of the space that's leased. So there's common areas, and the city assumes the responsibility for those common areas because we've got to heat them, we've got to clean them, we've got to do those kind of things. But the tenant pays for their percentage of utilities, which is electricity and heat, basically. Yes.
Okay,
Could you back it up one? Did I miss something? Okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and bring it to the next one. So this is kind of where the council, you know, it's a good opportunity to discuss what. Councilmember Coleman, did you have a question? Sorry. And feel free to jump in with questions, because I don't want to eat up a lot of time with this, but I do want council to feel like they've got a good understanding of how this is flowing. It's a good opportunity to define the goals, right? We have, the original portion of this discussion came from the idea that we had a business approach us that wanted to lease the long-term lot and run it as a business. And so we need to determine, you know, what's important to council, and take a look at, you know, what it means, what's the value of those services. Proprietary funds are supposed to be self-supporting. So what is the value of the services and the opportunities that we have to make revenues? What is it at a loss? What is it at break even? What does that mean to the cost to the public, the value to the public with a profit of varying degrees? As it stands today, the airport long-term parking lot is a free opportunity. It is enforced with citations. That's really our only leverage. The port maintains, in that process, the port maintains snow removal. There's lighting in that. There's paving, which at this point is, it's not been an issue. But then comes with that, you know, certain things like towing vehicles and those kind of things. And we're in good shape with that right now. But with that, the port's revenues have covered. So remember, we've got a budget of about $530,000 to $550,000. The port's budget or revenue budget has covered those operating expenses and $5,000 to $10,000 into the depreciation. So if we look at the shortfall of the airport budget, we're looking at somewhere around $250,000 to $300,000 a year, depending on the cost of utilities and those kind of things. What that equates to is about $25,000 a month. You break that down into the long-term parking lot, and you're looking at somewhere between $15 and $16 a day for a parking space. So you kind of drill that down. Here's the $25,000 a month we're in a hole with everything in it, the operating, the depreciation, and you look at, can we do something with the long-term parking? What that would look like is about $15 or $16 a day per parking spot. We've got 55 spots there. That's a break even, depending on utility costs and those kind of things. But in generally, that would be the break even spot. So if we were to do a lease on the long-term parking, we would have to build into that some escalations, because our lease rates go up annually, even when they don't expire. You know, there's still escalation built into those leases. And that's a little bit of an unknown. But so our costs go up, and we would need to make sure that we're keeping that in mind as we look forward to doing something with long-term parking, particularly when it comes to, like, you know, leasing it out to another company or to the private sector. If we look at doing increased rates on the tenants, I don't think that they could bear it. $7.92 a square foot is a lot of money. It's a lot of money plus your utility costs. And, you know, the service that we're provided, I know we all have felt what it's like not to have, you know, air service and those kind of things. Becomes what is the council's goals? What is your values? What's important to the services that we provide for transportation, for the community, for industry, and those kind of things? And then the other piece to that is, you know, if we really want to make it profitable with the depreciation considered in the package, what are our opportunities to do that? And there are a couple things that we can do, but what are those opportunities, and what is the desire, and what does that mean for the public? I personally have kind of looked at this, and some people are pretty excited about the opportunity of, you know, bidding in on a business and long-term parking and what that might mean for their department in terms of enforcement or monitoring or, you know, reduced maintenance and snow removal. On the other hand, I'm not so sure the public would use it as much. because if you don't have the convenience of dropping your car off, and, you know, flying out for 2 weeks of medical and then coming back and grabbing your car, but it's going to cost you, you know, $20 a day, well, I'll get a cab for $20 to and from my house. So those are kind of the pieces that I'm not sure if we put that out there for business, how much would it get used? What would be the, you know, and if we ran that, what would, and we, the port, what would that look like in terms of, you know, actually, by the time we invest in all those pieces to make that happen, would we actually have the business? So we've provided a free parking service for several decades, and that's just something to talk about, think about, as we're looking at what it means to have the airport break even. No, you're good. Okay, so we did, I kind of beat up the long-term parking piece of that a little bit because that's what got us here to this discussion. But we did look at several other options or some other options, and one of them was the head tax piece, which council has asked about on multiple occasions. We reached out to Brooks. There should be a copy of Brooks's finding on that. Generally speaking, we do not qualify to operate a head tax. A head tax would make up that deficit at about, on average with our landings, at about $5.50 a passenger. But it's not an option for us because we don't have a designated project for that. So the leasing of the long-term parking lot is a viable option to boost revenues. Do we want to do that with, you know, putting that out for the private sector? It would have to go through a request for proposal. It wouldn't be somebody's raised their hand and want that. We give that to them. It would have to go through a public process. We looked at whether that is, you know, reasonable to have the port manage a for-profit, you know, parking situation. And then we looked at increasing the rates to the tenants. And I, you know, kind of, we landed on, if we are wanting to generate additional revenues, the port's preference would be to put this out for a leasing opportunity for the private sector. That doesn't mean that's the direction we have to go. The head tax is a non-option. And increasing the rates for tenants is, it's kind of dodgy as well, because I don't think this, we can't expand the space, so it's not like we can get more tenants, right? Our budget is built on full occupancy, our revenue budget. So it's, you know, we're kind of, we can't have them shoulder all of that either. So we have 7 tenants to shoulder an additional $25,000 a month right now for a break even. That's what we'd be talking about. So I don't know if there's another one there or not.
Thank you.
Yes.
So with 25,000 break even, still being subleased or being run by the, if the city gonna run it by, if the city gonna run it or you gonna sublease it to break even?
What I'm saying is right now, no matter what we're doing, whether we did something with the private sector or we can keep that in-house, we are running at, with everything included, all our operating expenses and our depreciation, we are running about $25,000 a month at a deficit.
So if we have a full tenant through the airport,
we have 2 spaces that are vacant,
yes,
right now.
I know, and that's part of the budget that you turn in. Those are supposed to be filled up, right?
It's correct.
It's considered to be okay. So
correct.
So if you're gonna do a sublease on a long-term parking, are we doing modification to make sure they're secure, that thing, or is it something that whoever sublease it gonna do modification so nobody can just...
Right, so how we run, I mean, that's all those things that we can work out in the sublease process. If I'm understanding your question correctly, you know, what would we do to secure that? And to, they would be in charge of their operations. They would be in charge of the improvements for their operations. And they would be in charge of the maintenance for that lot. They would be in charge of their base rent would have to cover, you know, our expenses, which would be our lease amount, our utilities, and some of those kind of pieces. So our base rent would be, in my mind, we would set it at no less than $25,000 a month.
Councilman Luby.
And so everything that I'm hearing sounds like we're raising the cost of travel to even consider it. I also know that the businesses can't afford it, you know, if we raise their rents. So how do we how do we support the airport? That's the big question, right? And it seems like throughout all of the proprietary funds, it's the depreciation that is really killing every proprietary fund. And so I think maybe we need to look at that avenue in some different way. And I have some ideas to talk to administration about. So I think putting the parking lots out to private industry, that's just going to hurt the general public. I think even if the city was to charge rent for the long term, that's still going to hurt the public. And we're trying to bring the cost down to the people that live here. As we heard tonight, everybody, prices are going up in every aspect. So I think maybe we need to look at it differently, but that's kind of my feeling right now. Thanks.
If I could interject on that too, one of the things I meant to point out and did not was the timing of these leases is really important. So I think we have time, because I don't think we would be wise to jump into some kind of new sublease on the long term when we are so close to the expiration of that. So I think those pieces need to be in play before we, you know, start making long-term decisions with, you know, future tenants, if you will. The other piece of that is the state is still working through their master plan. And the last master plan that we had has all those buildings being relocated. And so I think it's kind of important that we keep that in mind. And with those buildings being relocated or rebuilt or all of that, the opportunity may be that with different funding opportunities, because it's a state plan, and it's a 20-year plan, that some of that depreciation might be absorbed under other entities versus just the port proprietary fund.
That would be great. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Any council? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll just make a comment, because you brought up the whole airport master plan and the potential down the road here, and hopefully it would be sooner than later, is that some plan would be completed and potentially federal dollars available to renovate or do something different. I don't know if there's a possibility or if there's been any inquiries that if there was a different facility it was set up differently, could we attract more tenants to different types of spaces or different types of businesses? In the long term, I mean, it is the oldest building, and you know, it is a clean and, you know, fairly nice building, but it's like walking into the 90s when you get off the plane. So,
well, and I think to your point, I think that if we are serious about building a different terminal building, and it wouldn't be, in my mind, that's something that, you know, we are essential air service. So in my mind, that's a lever for other funding sources, right? I mean, we cannot function. And when we had the plane crash and the ferry system was on the hook, we were literally without public transportation on and off the island. So I think to your point that when we get to that point, if we're planning a new terminal building, you want to make it attractive for tenants and businesses outside of just the airlines. I mean, the Tom Matson Airport is, it's served us well, but it's a bottleneck. It's an absolute bottleneck with trying to get people in and out and handling bags and all of that. So, yes, a terminal building that's well-designed. It's also an energy sucker. If you notice how the glass doors, the sliding doors, when you go in, the door on, as you face the building, the door on the right-hand side is almost directly aligned with the doors that open up for the baggage going out to the aircraft. And the doors on the baggage claim side directly open up with the, you know, it's just like a big suction as they open up that baggage area. All that cold air just sucks right in there, and you lose a huge percentage of the heat every time, particularly in the winter, when you are handling bags. So there's lots of efficiencies that can be addressed with some kind of renovation or new building that will also, I think, bring some of those expenses down overall.
And then one more subject that I when we start talking about raising costs, but you know, when all this air service went away and you started seeing charters, and we still, during the busy times, we see lots of charters coming in, is being able to accommodate charters, and you know, and how is there a way to to generate revenue in some manner short of doing landing fees or some other, you know, type of fee like that. So, you know, so many charters go in and out of here. It'd be nice to be able to, you know, come in and out of a nice terminal instead of walking through mud puddles out at the fence at the end or something, you know.
I'd like to say I had an answer for you on that. And I agree with you. There's got to be some mechanism somewhere. And that's where we started exploring the head tax, because we don't have visibility to those passenger counts, right? We have visibility to the passenger counts of our tenants. So Raven Air, Grant Aviation. If they use the Tom Madsen building, there should be a way for us to have some kind of revenue source from them, small or large. But you're right, there should be some kind of mechanism to do that. But because we're on the state land and the building is kind of the boundary, right? The tarmac side of the building is kind of the boundary of what the city manages. The state manages everything on the tarmac side. So if a charter plane lands on the tarmac and they want to bring them into the gate, we've kind of lost that opportunity. We don't have visibility to their comings and goings either, right? Because we don't have the same kind of, they have to file, you know, flight plans, but we don't have that. We don't necessarily have that visibility. So I'm not going to pretend. I wish I had an answer that said, yes, here's the magic thing to grab some kind of resource for the city of Unalaska for them using our building, our facilities, whatever. I don't have that answer just now.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Peggy, I have one question. For the long-term parking, having somebody have to pay $10+ a day for parking, I think that a lot of people just be parking at home and taking cabs. That seems to, I don't know if we'd be able to get that much revenue out of that. But in the short-term parking, you've got the square footage what companies use for space and stuff. Are the companies also paying for parking spots in the short-term parking?
Yes. We have an agreement. In fact, we have a request for proposal out right now for the parking spots that have been traditionally used for the rental car companies. I think there's 28 spots there. And so we've put out a proposal to kind of clean up the old contract language on that. We rebid those spots because companies want more or less different. So we have defined that area. You can go onto the city website and you can kind of read through that request for proposals. But we have 28 spots that are available for, I think it's 28 spots that are available for lease for the rental car companies. In addition to that, there are 3 to 5 parking spots that the airlines, some of the tenants pay for so that they have guaranteed parking for their employees. But that's part of their contract.
Okay, now one other question. So is there any word on another airlines coming in that would help, leave some more space in the building?
So, of course, Aleutian Air, Aleutian Aviation, they are supposed to be running their test flights now. Their pilots are going through the programs. They have a contract with Grant Aviation at the moment work their baggage and handle their passengers. I think that is kind of a short-term plan until they are, you know, able to confirm that they can launch their service out here. But they are committed to coming out, and they're working on getting those pilots approved and their safety plans approved and all of that.
Okay, and I do agree with Councilman Bell's suggestion on anything that we can do with charter planes coming in, because there are a lot of charters that do come in on a frequent basis, beginning of A season and the end of A season, or beginning and end of the seasons, that a lot of people are just utilizing charters instead of the primary airlines we have. So if we can tap into some revenue off of that, that would be, that'd help out a lot too.
Agreed.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. You know, I was a proponent
I heard an echo, but I was a proponent of, you know, leasing or putting the long-term parking out to bid. However, after this presentation, and thank you, Peggy, for it, I no longer feel the same. I do, however, think that we should be paying for the parking that we are parking. Everybody talks about the cost of living going up for everybody. Well, bottom line is the cost of living, you know, going up for the city also. And the ports, I mean, the airport is right on the verge of, costing us money. So I think, I mean, maybe $10 much, but I think the city has the ability to do that. What I don't like seeing is vehicles in that have flat tires that have been there for months. We have a transient workforce that utilizes that for free. And, they come out and work, and then they leave, for months at a time. And that just can, so it's really tough to get a parking spot there anyway. So I think a minor charge would be at all to help offset some of the costs that the city is incurring. But I think that's all I have to say about the airport.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? How do you deal with private planes coming in? They're not charters, they're not commercial, they're private planes. How are you dealing with them?
For the most part, they will make their arrangements for using the runway with DOT. They'll work with the Weather Service, and then they will typically either access through ACE or through the side gate there, right by the right hand side of the building.
All right. Okay. Thanks. All right. Anybody have any questions for Peggy? No. Thank you. Let's see. Are there anyone on Zoom or phone?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. Next item here is the need a motion and a second to return to regular session.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. There's no objection. And hearing no objections, we're back in the regular session. 7:43. The next item 12 is the consent agenda, in which there are two items listed on the agenda. Absent a request by a council member to move one or more items to the regular agenda for discussion, the consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. The titles of the consent agenda is Resolution 2022-21, certifying the 2022 real property and personal property tax rolls, and Resolution 2022-22, authorizing financial support of the aerial salmon survey for calendar year 2022 by Illusion Aerial in the amount of $2,550, from which the council planned a sponsorship on the budget. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda?
Move to adopt the consent agenda.
Moved by Councilman Coleman.
Second.
Second by Councilman Luby. request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly. Robinson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Luby? Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Okay, on a roll call vote of 6-0, the consent agenda has been approved. items 2022, 21, 2022, 22. Next item, we are now in regular session. The persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. There's a 3-minute time limit. State your name. Is anyone signed up?
No, sir.
Okay.
Not for these next two items.
Anybody?
Not on the next two items, no.
Okay. At this time, there will vote on the UNFA request for a work session. May I have a motion to authorize the mayor to sign a proposed letter of support and authorize the city's fishery consultant to provide testimony at the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting on June 2022 in Sitka. The motions.
Move to adopt or to the mayor to sign the proposed letter.
Moved by Councilman Robinson.
Second.
Second by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the city manager at this time.
Yes, so this was discussed at the work session, and our fisheries consultant recommended support of the request and is already ready with a letter. And I've got nothing further to add.
Okay, thank you. And at this time, we'll call council discussion. Councilman Bell.
I don't have any comments. I'll just say I'm in support.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson.
I'll be supporting this as well.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I think it's important to support our small fishing fleet here in the community, so I'm in 100% support.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Robinson.
Again, I fully support this. It's a long time coming, and I'm hoping that the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council moves on this and makes it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Tungle.
Yeah. I'll be in full support of this letter. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Coleman.
Yes, thank you. I don't have any comments.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
I'll restate the motion. Shall the mayor sign the proposed letter of support authorizing the city's fishery consultant to provide testimony at North Pacific Management Council meeting in Sitka? I'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, sir. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
And Tungle?
Yes.
Roll call vote of 6-0. With the vote, council has authorized me to sign the proposed letter to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and authorize the city fishery consultant to provide testimony in June in Sitka. Our next item B, ordinance 2022-07, first reading, creating the budget amendment number 5 to the FY 2022 budget, appropriating $100,000 from the general fund for elementary school heating repairs project, and increasing the port operating revenue budget by $230,000 for electricity at the harbor facilities. May I have a motion to introduce the ordinance and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 14, 2022?
I move to introduce ordinance 2022-07 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 14th.
We have a second?
A second.
Seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager at this time.
Yes, mayor and council staff is recommending approval of this budget amendment. At the end of the day, code states that the city is responsible for any major repairs at the school, which this certainly constitutes a major repair. As far as the increase for the ports goes, it's a result of increases in fuel cost and should be offset by revenues. So again, staff is recommending approval.
Okay, thank you. At this time, I'll ask for council discussion. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be in support of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman.
It's the boiler at the school. Is that, I see they have somebody set aside to move forward on that right now?
I'm going to call upon Tom to address some of the questions about that item.
Mayor and Council and Councilmember Coleman, could you please repeat your question?
I was just wondering the boiler system over there now that has failed or is failing. Is it we have somebody that presently is able to work on it, or is this something for the new school year, or what's the timeline on that?
So it sounds like there's two parts to your question: timeline and then the boiler. So first of all, the boilers are fine. There's two boilers. You know, they operate lead and lag. The real issue is with the glycol loop itself. So we have supply lines that feed the boilers. I mean, it comes from the boiler to the heating system, the fin tube heaters throughout the building. And there's 3-inch pipe, and then there's 2-inch pipe that returns that glycol back to the boiler to reheat the fluid. But there's also the 3/4-inch branch lines that feed the individual fin tube heaters. And that's primarily where the leakage is occurring. To answer your question about timeline, our intent then is to take the system down right after the last in-service days of the teachers, and then that way we'd have plenty of time then before school starts the following school year to fix the system. So, I know, did that answer your question?
So, sorry, glycol leak. So the whole loop system has to be replaced?
I wouldn't say, honestly, I don't know for sure, because we don't know the full extent of the issue until we start digging into the system. You can imagine, there's lines that are up in the ceiling, there's lines that go down through the walls, and we don't want to start ripping anything apart until school is out of session so we can really evaluate how extensive the repairs are. But we do know that there's a lot of leaks where the 3/4-inch branch lines go to the individual rooms. And for some reason, I don't know why, they did not install enough isolation valves. So where the 3/4-inch line goes to the heater, individual heaters, there's not a valve. So in order to fix those leaks, they have to shut down the system, drain the entire system, make the repairs, recharge the system, and then test it, make sure it's not leaking.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, I support this, and I do hope that they are putting some isolation in when they go to replace these things. Even if it requires another additional amount of money from the city of Unalaska to do so, if they haven't already planned for that. But I think it's important that, you know, we design the system so it can be repaired in segments instead of the entire system having to be down. But I support the budget amendment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious why this is an amendment to FY22 and this wasn't part of the CMP for FY23. Is it because of the end of the school year and need to support the first month of June? And then my question would be, what are we going to do after that, if that's the case, if that makes sense?
So I don't think that, I think there were plans to do work in the elementary school in the new fiscal year, and that was included in the CMMP. This is something different that came up unplanned. So and then the plan, yeah, so ideally we could get the ball rolling now in this fiscal year, which is why we're asking for the money now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Tungo?
Yeah, I'll be in full support of this. It is really important to maintain those heater in there. We got to keep those kids warm. So I'll be in full support of this.
Thank you, Councilman Dunville. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
I'll restate the motion is to approve ordinance 2022-07. First reading, create a budget amendment number 5 to FY22 budget appropriating $100,000 for general fund and elementary school heating repairs and increase in the port operating revenue budget by $230,000 for electricity at the Harvey facilities. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, sir. Luby?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson? Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
And Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a vote of 6-0, ordinance 2022, we move to second reading. 2022-07 to the June 14th meeting for second reading. This time we'll take a 10-minute break and then we'll come back to item 14, executive session.
Mayor, may I suggest that we do the motion to go into executive session first and then we can clear chambers and get everything set up? Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Executive session has been called. Read the motion, please.
I move to adjourn into executive session to discuss personal matter and financial matters related to the negotiation with IUOE Local 302, which if discussed in public might negatively impact the interests of the city. Present in the executive session will be the mayor, council members, physically present, the city manager, assistant city manager, the department directors, Margie Bitter, Roger Blakely, and Dan Kanauer.
Second.
It's been moved to go into executive session by Councilman Tungle and seconded by Councilman Coleman. Roll call.
Coleman?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Luby?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Tungle?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roll call vote 6-0. We now in executive session at 7:58 p.m.
All right, for folks on Zoom, I'm going to end the Zoom meeting now. Once the executive session is completed, we will resume the Zoom meeting and you can rejoin. Just listen on KUCB and they'll let you know when we're ready to go back in. Thanks. Mr. Mayor, both Mr. Robinson and Mr. Nicholson are on the line.
You can't hear anybody.
We're waiting for the public to get seated and then we'll get started. Okay, ready? Call the regular, back into regular session out of executive session. No action out of executive session, and I'll ask for a motion and a second to recess until Thursday, 9 a.m.
Mayor, if I may speak on that real quick.
Pardon?
If you could indulge me and so I could speak on that real quick. So during executive session, we've gone over, you know, all the contracts.
Let me have a motion first.
We got to have the motion first.
It's not debatable, so we can't sit there and speak about it. So I'm asking the chair if he would grant me a few minutes to speak.
A couple of minutes, yeah.
Okay.
There's no motion on the floor.
No. Apparently, the clerk says I'm out of order, so.
I'll make a motion to go into recess to continue this meeting on May 26th at 9 a.m.
Second.
Been moved by Councilman Coleman and seconded by Councilman Bell to go to recess till Thursday at 9 a.m. The roll call.
Bell?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Tungle?
No.
Looby?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
A 5 yes and 1 nay. We are in recess regarding continuation of this meeting on the contracts that we had discussed with 302. So we're in recess and we'll continue this meeting at 9 a.m. on Thursday. To paraphrase Council Bell, there was not necessarily are we opposed to the contract. We had a couple of questions for the 302 negotiators that we could not answer. They're not really big issues. There are a lot of them are issues that concern revenue, and so we need to have an answer on the issues. I think overall the members of the council that sat here this evening generally support the contracts. There's just some concern about how the numbers were brought forward, and so we're going to ask those questions, and hopefully we have an answer on Thursday at 9 o'clock when we can reconvene and discuss this again at that time. So with that, this meeting is recessed, and we have a couple more items on the agenda that'll be brought up on Thursday. Is that correct? The resolution on 302, three of them, and we have also some other issues on community announcements, council directives to the manager, which we're going to deal with on Thursday. So with that, and there being no further business, we are recessed till 9 a.m. on Thursday.